White Guns, written by Douglas Riemann and read by David Rintoul.
Chapter 1, The Victors. The confined waters of the Baltic Sea have moods and hazards as varied as the countries which enclose it, from Finland on the north to the gentler shores of Denmark and the turbulent currents of the Kattegat which divides it from Sweden. This particular morning, with May just a few days old, was no exception. If anything, the air, chilling and heavy with damp, was hostile, as if it knew the reason for this day being different from any other. The early sunlight was masked by low clouds, and when it touched the sea's face it was hard and metallic, so that the water looked like burnished pewter. When the sun was hidden, the same sea appeared darker, the colour of lead. The small flotilla of vessels, moving slowly south towards the approaches to Kiel Bay, kept station close together, as if they too sensed the air of menace and uncertainty. Their engines, throttled down to hold the group in visual company at all times, rumbled across the water, and as an occasional glimpse of land loomed up to starboard, the crews, who stood to their action stations, could hear the echoes thrown back from the shore. It was a place very few had been before, and only those old enough to have recalled the days of peace might have remembered or recognized the names on the chart. For this was May 1945, and after nearly 6 years of war, British ships were penetrating the Baltic, where none but a handful of reckless submariners had been able to grope their way to carry their particular skills to the enemy's coastal convoys. This group of vessels was small but no less deadly, a pair of lithe motor gunboats butting through the choppy waters as if they resented being rained down from their spectacular 30 knots, more with a following wind, as some claimed. A trio of motor launches, very similar in design, with their low bridges and raked bows, but lacking the MGB's formidable armament, followed by a long-funnelled salvage vessel, dull grey like the clouds, all the hulls glistening in spray, guns manned, as if expecting to be challenged. The leading MGB, her number 801 painted on either bow, might appear to any landsman to be as smart as the day she had first tasted salt water in 1942, but the old scars were still visible despite the paint. 3 years of war at close quarters, seeking out the enemy, E-boats and other such vessels, whose crews were just as dedicated and determined to win, or simply to survive. From Iceland to the Med, the English Channel and up to the North Sea, manned for the most part by hostilities-only officers and ratings, schoolboys and clerks, milk roundsmen and taxi drivers, they had proved in blood that they were more than able to adapt to the demands of war, despite the cost which had hit them harder than most. Lieutenant Vere Marriott, the commanding officer of MGB 801, rested his elbows on the screen and levelled his powerful binoculars on a spur of land, as he had done countless times, so many that they were beyond measure. He was 26 years old, and apart from getting the feel of the Navy in an elderly V&W-class destroyer, had spent all his time in light coastal forces, in both MTBs and gunboats like this one, covering the Desert Army in retreat along the North African coast, then turning to share the unbelievable change of fortune when the battered, bloodied veterans of the 8th Army had stood firm at a place called El Alamein, a name which had previously been barely worth noting on any map or chart. After years of setbacks, both naval and military, their luck had changed. Rommel's crack Africa Corps had been driven back. It never stopped until the German divisions were out of Africa and across to Sicily and Italy, harried all the way by craft like this one. Marriott half listened to the muffled growl of the four great Packard engines and watched some bobbing wreckage drift slowly abeam. His had been a different command then. Once again he felt his stomach muscles contract as if anticipating a blow, his jaw tightening while he tried to push the memory from his mind. This should have been a different day.